This is our instant reaction to Godzilla versus Kong.
Why is it a question?
Greetings, Binge Lords. This is Jason from Binge Movies. It's been a while since I've done an instant reaction because movies don't really exist anymore, at least as we understood it. So this is coming out Friday, right around the 1st of April. I guess it'd be April 2nd. And the big news is by April 6th, season 5.2 begins. And we have a season 5.2 guest here for this instant reaction because they are a giant kaiju fan. But to call them a guest is to do a disservice because they are not just in an honorary sense, but in an official sense. It's true on Twitter, so it's true in reality. It's Twitter official, a contributing host to Binge Movies, and a one of our great, you know, folks who's trying to get as many franchises in Florida started as possible. Of course, I'm talking about the Lady Wan. As we go into season 5.2, Lady Wan, you are the reigning and defending last movie standing champion. Men in Black is the most recent addition to the vault. So you're here again.
Yes.
And you're here because you are the biggest kaiju fan that I know. It's also a movie podcaster.
Yeah. I was raised on a steady diet of Godzilla, and I will never apologize for that.
Is the Bryan Cranston Godzilla this Godzilla? Is it the same Godzilla?
Allegedly.
Which you've never seen that one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I refuse to see it because hashtag not my Godzilla. But I don't think that Godzilla is a franchise. I think it's a lifestyle. So, you know.
It's a lifestyle brand.
Yeah. You kind of, you know, dip in and out of it. Whatever works for you at the time. And
then you saw, was it Kong Skull Island?
Yes. Yes.
And on a previous podcast, that was the inspiration for, you know, something you did elsewhere. And yes. then that you were went in with a lot of expectations and were deeply and fundamentally disappointed. Yeah. And were so angry, you decided to co-create a podcast where all you did was fix movies that made you mad.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
like a true movie nerd.
It was the crystallization of a concept from Kong Skull Island. I was tremendously disappointed by it. I planned my day around it with my friends. It was very exciting. And then the lights went up and I kind of looked at them. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, guys. Like, I'm really sorry. Yeah. It felt like my fault. I was so hyped for it. And it really was a disappointment. And so was Godzilla King of the Monsters. That was
not a very good movie.
Mm-mm. Which I watched again today because I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Glutton for punishment, apparently. You're a kaiju glutton.
Yes.
Yeah, you have a kaiju fetish.
Might be true. Might be true.
Yeah, might be true. So the deal here is that up front, this is, you know, we usually do these instant reactions when I do them, and it's usually no spoilers, and then, you know, we talk for 10 or 15 minutes, no spoilers, and then maybe 20 minutes of spoilers. It's very hard to spoil this movie because it's as if they went to a couple of eight-year-olds who and said, make a comic book about Godzilla versus King Kong. And they put every conceivable batshit crazy childlike idea, Saturday morning cartoon idea into a movie that is already about two giant monsters fighting each other.
Yeah.
That is the two giant monsters fighting each other is the most grounded thing in this entire movie.
Oh, for sure.
So I have no idea how to talk about it without spoilers. So we won't. I will just say, if you could summarize in a sentence or two whether or not you'd recommend the movie and to who in particular, right? Like, because not everything's for everybody. And then I'll do the same and then we'll get into spoilers. How's that sound?
Okay. I think I can do that. My recommendation broadly is if you have HBO Max, watch this movie.
Why not?
Like, what the hell else are you doing?
Right. Why not?
And if you somehow lose interest, which I dare you, You didn't pay any extra money for it. You're still pretty comfortable on your couch, I'm guessing. So why not? There is no reason not to watch this if you have HBO Max.
I think that's a really great point. I said to you off mic that if I had to spend like $30, you know, if I had to spend like $30 to be in a movie theater,
yeah,
and watch this and like deal with all of the hassle of that, it might not have been worth it, because like my expectations are a little bit higher in the sense of like, I need human characters and maybe like some good dialogue and like a plot or whatever, like, you know. But in the comfort of my home on HBO Max, which I'm already paying for, yeah, on a, with a little projector and a screen on a wall, it's mm-hmm. in a sound bar. It's like good enough for me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for a random Wednesday night or Wednesday morning mm-hmm. or whatever, it's, I would put this in the category of, they don't really make movies like this anymore, but there was the mentality of the matinee movie.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what this is. This is a Saturday matinee movie, like in the 1950s mm-hmm. sense of what that meant, right?
Yeah.
It is all spectacle. It's all candy. It's all junk food. And the thing is, I don't have any problem with a junk food movie being yeah. junk food if it advertises itself as junk food. My issue is when junk food puts a patina, a veneer of class or quality over itself. Like, oh no, we got some real deep ideas going on yeah. here. And really it's just trash. It's just a giant comic book movie.
Yeah.
And I said on Twitter, this is a big, dumb comic book movie in the truest sense of what that means, meets big, dumb wrestling storyline down to how the fight flows between the two characters. It's like, this is a wrestling match. This is wonderful. You know, and my Letterboxd review of it is two words: glorious trash. And it's, I don't mean that in a derogatory sense at all. I really, really enjoyed it.
It's so fun. It's so fun. I loved it the
it's
way
stupid.
Yeah. I loved it the fun. Way I love chicken nuggets. Like,
yeah,
is it part right. of a healthy diet? No. Should you eat them all the time? No. Absolutely not. But like, how good do you feel while it's happening?
The one thing I'll say too is I think this is the best of all the different versions they've done so far.
Yeah.
And I think, like, not of all the Godzilla movies or whatever, but like of the recent ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that of the recent American ones and the recent Kong ones.
Yeah.
And I think that they have figured out that nobody gives a shit about these human beings.
No.
So it's that they film some stuff. It doesn't really matter. It seems like what they filmed, they cut it down a lot. It's a very tight hour and 45 minutes.
Yes.
And the vast majority of it is about Kong or Godzilla
yeah.
or Kong and Godzilla together.
Yeah.
That's what the movie is. And so It is what it says it is on the box. And because of that, I give it a recommendation, especially if you have HBO Max. Like,
yeah,
like, why not?
You literally, like, there's nothing better to be doing on there. Watch this.
Yeah. Like, would you want to watch a 4-hour cut of this? Speaking of nothing better to do.
No.
What about a 4-hour cut in black and white?
Absolutely not.
No, I think this movie would be absolutely terrible in black and white.
That's how I used to watch Godzilla movies.
Right. But nothing against black and white, but like the color palette of this movie makes it.
It's
a comic book come to life. It's a cartoon.
It's fantastically colorful. Yeah. It is. Oh my God. It's so fun.
It's very, very fun. I thought it was awesome. That's a recommend for both of us.
Yes.
So now we're going to get into some spoilers.
Yes.
Do you think that they were successful at making you give a shit about King Kong in this movie?
I was shocked how much I cared about the big giant fake monkey.
A big giant fake monkey going to yeah. a imaginary magical planet inside the planet because it turns out the Earth is hollow.
Yes.
There's a magical hole that you can walk for 15 minutes and get to the center of the earth.
Yeah, it's fine.
And then it's a land, but it's not just a land. It's also like two lands. It's like an M.C. Escher land.
Yeah.
Where there's a land up and there's a land down.
Yes,
and
totally.
There's a big giant monkey throne.
Yes.
In a big giant monkey weapon, mm-hmm. Like an axe.
Yes.
Like a Thor Ragnarok, like what's the
Stormbreaker?
What's Thor? Stormbreaker axe made out of a Godzilla or Godzilla ancestor scale.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the inclination here is that Godzilla isn't nuclear, that what he's actually channeling the power from the core of the earth.
Sure.
Which is okay. An energy source, which an evil corporation. And yeah. And I just want to say, the moment you, like, if the whole concept of your movie is these titans are fighting for who the apex predator is, and the only human organization that's represented is Apex Technologies,
yes.
You might as well just say, like, Villains Incorporated,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, but I appreciate, just cut to it. Don't.
Oh, that's the best part.
Yeah.
There's no pretense. They just cut right to it.
Oh my God. We waste no time.
No time.
In watching Godzilla King of the Monsters today, there is constantly a debate between two humans in a room I don't care about, arguing over what we do. And I'm like, I don't care. Just show me Godzilla. And this movie is like, we heard you. We heard you, and we will just propose a plan, like go to the center of the hollow earth. And
yes,
wait, how are we going to do that? Don't worry, I have a flying car. Oh, okay, cool.
Magic flying car.
Yeah, now we can go.
Yeah, it's now fine. We can go because apparently,
yeah.
When you go to the center of the earth, gravity inverts.
Of course.
And the main scientist, one of the Skarsgårds, his brother, not a Skarsgård, but his fictional brother. Yeah. Died from the inversion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now we need magic cars to take us through the inversion, which apparently is also like a wormhole because you can get to the center of the earth in no time flat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a moment of which King Kong and Godzilla, King Kong is in the center of the hollow earth sitting on a monkey throne,
yes.
Sitting on a giant throne like Conan the Barbarian.
Yes.
I'm not joking. Godzilla takes his atomic breath and blows a giant hole. From China to the center of the earth, from Hong Kong to the center of the earth. Godzilla looks down the hole. King Kong, because it's inverted, looks down his hole, but he's really looking up the hole.
Yeah.
And they look at each other. I can only imagine they're separated by tens of millions of miles, hundreds of millions of miles.
I have no idea, but they for sure look at each other.
Yeah, and yell at each other.
Yeah.
And then Kong climbs his way through the tunnel
real quick
to get to Hong Kong real quick.
He's like, I'll be right there.
With a giant Peter Dinklage style forged axe.
Yes. Yeah.
With the power of the center of the earth inside of it.
It's amazing.
Which makes him King Kong.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only assume that they never refer to him as King Kong because somebody else owns the trademark for King Kong.
Yeah. I have to imagine that's why that is. And even in Kong Skull Island, they don't call him King Kong. I think Samuel L. Jackson says Kong is king at one point. Like,
and yeah, like he's like, you know, who's they in this one, they're like, who's going to bow to the king or whatever? And she's just like, Kong bows to no one.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like a Marvel where they don't want to say with great power comes great responsibility anymore.
Yeah.
So instead they're just like, well, if you can't stop things that you could stop and you don't stop them, then you're bad.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to take the abilities you have and stop the things that you can. And that's like kind of what they're dancing around.
Yeah.
Like, I assume Universal probably in perpetuity owns King Kong.
Yeah, I
and this is just Kong. And so they show him as a king.
Yes.
In the most literal sense we've ever seen in 100 years of these movies.
Yeah.
He sits on a Kong throne.
Yeah.
If there had just been a crown put on his head, it would have been perfect.
Honestly, I wouldn't have put it past them. And he had that weird collar on for a while on the boat.
Yes.
Like he could have easily just like propped that up on his head after they freed him.
Well, that's where the sedation drugs
yeah.
were coming, so they could put him to sleep on a giant open air boat.
Yes,
which seemed odd that he is bigger than like he's literally falling off of the boat, just laying there. And I'm like, you couldn't have found a bigger ship.
No.
It seems odd.
No, it's
You could have lassoed a couple of ships together. I don't know. I knew what I was in for when the movie started. It sounds like I'm shitting on it. I'm not.
No, I enjoyed it's so every good. Moment of it.
When the movie opened, and it opens with King Kong waking up or taking a nap, mm-hmm. and they're playing AM soft rock yeah. because it's like a callback to Kong Skull Island,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And he gets up and he like washes his face in the waterfall and then scratches his ass yeah. and then stretches. And then they're playing like really like soft rock about like a guy and his girl. I forget which it's like a famous song. I forget yeah. which one it is. And that is their way of introducing that Kong has this spiritual connection with the last human survivor of Skull Island, who is not just a little girl, but a deaf and disabled little girl, yes. of course,
yes.
to pull at her heartstrings. Mm-hmm. And then they seem to have a psychic connection. And this movie, it wouldn't put it beyond this movie for them to have a psychic connection. But instead, the little girl has apparently taught Kong sign language.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want her to tell anybody.
Yeah.
So he signs to her, apparently, don't tell anybody I can talk, right? Like, don't tell anybody I understand.
Yeah, it was unclear to me when they could have had that conversation because he lives in an observation area.
But I think she lives in there with him.
Yeah, but it's an observation area. At what point do they go, well, let's give them some privacy?
Right.
No, he would never have privacy. I didn't understand how he was able to keep his
That's a really sign language good point. The whole point, yeah, the whole point is that
yeah.
Skull Island's uninhabitable, so they've created like a biodome for him. Mm-hmm. And it's not to protect us from him because he can't get off the island. It's to protect him from both the island, which is like now uninhabitable for some reason.
Yeah.
And Godzilla.
Yeah.
It's like if somehow they're like shielding Godzilla, his sense of where Kong is. I don't know. But you're right. And yeah. it's like to study and observe Kong from like a distance or whatever. And the main scientist woman has been trying to teach him sign language, which it turns out at some point he just knew. And I love it because the impression that the scientist gives us is that he was faking, he was rope-a-doping her into yeah. thinking that he didn't know. Like she's like, I saw some vague recognition yeah. of some of the signs.
Right.
And I'm like, that means he's like pretending he doesn't know what she's saying yes. to him.
Totally.
Meanwhile, he's fluent in sign language. Yeah.
He was like, I don't think it will benefit me if she knows. Like he went yeah. through those reasoning steps to be like, no, I don't trust her. Good for him.
And then that's the dialogue. The dialogue is the little girl's like, well, why didn't he tell me he could speak sign language? And she's like, he told me he didn't trust you.
Yeah. Yeah. Why would you trust the people who keep you in captivity? You wouldn't.
Right. But he trusts the little girl because she's native yeah. to the island.
Yeah.
And he sees himself in her, right? They're both like the last of their people.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah,
so
they're connected.
At the moment they tied him to a deaf little girl, I'm like, in wrestling terms, he's the baby face. Godzilla's the obvious heel, but it became also obvious that there's no way that Godzilla's going to be the ultimate heel. There's going to be a bigger bad that's revealed,
yeah,
and that they're going to have to team up and face the bigger bad. Mm-hmm. And I was chomping at the bit for it to be a very particular character because it's one of the few characters I know or give a shit about. And I mostly because I remember Friends having the giant toys mm-hmm. of it, and it was the cooler 80s version of Godzilla.
Yeah.
And of course we're talking about who?
Mecha Godzilla.
Now, how does Mecha Godzilla function in this movie? can you explain this to me?
Mecha Godzilla is built
yeah.
using one of the leftover skulls from Ghidorah from the last movie. And yeah. presumably the technology from Pacific Rim, where somebody runs him like a pilot by sitting in the brain. And that is what they needed somehow to get this creature functional.
To create a psionic, they call it a psionic link.
Yes.
And Brian Tyree Henry, who appears as a conspiracy theorist, which is a bold choice nowadays to make a conspiracy theorist the comedic protagonist.
Yeah.
But he's a, it's fine. That and a podcast.
Hell yes, he is.
No podcaster has any adventures in life other than the disintegration of friendships and marriages.
Maybe.
That's a true adventure. The true adventure of podcasting is looking at your stats every week and just watching them go nowhere. Yeah. That is what the... Yeah.
Yeah.
And then getting a giant blip and thinking you finally hit the big time and realizing it's just bots from Russia.
Mm-hmm.
That's what podcasting is.
Yeah. I think the most believable thing about him as a podcaster was that he didn't appear to have any friends, and he also had to have a real job in order to keep it going.
And as soon as the mayhem is over, he was like, "Would you like to be on my podcast?"
Yes, podcast? Also that.
That, yeah. Begging people to come on to be a guest, yeah, is also
the hustle.
A very real thing. Yeah, so he drops a line of like that apparently there were two heads, and that's one of them. And then he's like, the other one must be in that thing, meaning Mechagodzilla.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
So then it seems like they hooked up two different heads, mm-hmm, one inside the Mechagodzilla, one in Neon World.
Yes. Yeah.
And hooked up to a computer in between, or a satellite or some shit.
I mean,
it just makes no sense.
It's completely bullshit, except for the fact that I totally buy it.
if there's a psychic connection between, what's his name? I'm going to pronounce it right.
Ghidorah.
If Ghidorah's heads psychically communicate with each other,
yeah,
why do they need a satellite uplink to each other?
So I think that's so that we can connect the dots for anybody who didn't understand that. I think that's purely, gotcha, those big giant neon wires are just in case you couldn't understand that idea. Because also, we don't see that anybody has two of his heads in the last movie. The post-credit scene in Godzilla King of the Monsters only shows one head having been found. So this movie kind of like dotted lines like, well, there's probably another one out there, and this guy got both of them, and that's how he did it. So the setup was kind of there, but not really. But also, it totally makes sense. Of course, those heads are psychically linked. I'm on board. Fine. You got me.
But it's a skull. There's no brain in that skull.
Who cares?
So what it would mean is that his skull.
Yes.
From one head is psychically linked to the brain of another head? Or do they take the brain from the skull and put it in? That still doesn't make any sense. You would need two brains, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the human brain in between.
Not sure then again, what the point of the human is, other than to say fuck you to Pacific Rim.
Yeah, what was the point of the human brain in between the mm-hmm, Ghidorah brains?
I don't know, because at least Pacific Rim had a reason why you had to have like two people in there. There was a whole premise that I think is stupid, yep, but like they presented it. This one, I don't know why that guy's in there driving. Like, why?
His character seemed to be like, well, we killed Ken Watanabe, so we have to have an Asian character in this Asian franchise.
You're correct.
But he's going to have no lines. Just like Lance Reddick, who is top billed in the opening credits and says, what, four words?
Honestly, at the most, I can tell you almost nobody's name in general.
No, no.
The only characters whose name I'm certain of is Millie Bobby Brown, and that's only because I spent this afternoon watching Godzilla King of the Monsters, and half of that movie is just Kyle Chandler and whichever Farmiga it is screaming, Madison! And so I remember that her name is Madison. Other than that, I don't know who anybody is. They're actors.
Yeah, right. So I said Kyle Chandler,
yeah,
Millie Bobby Brown, Alexander Skarsgård,
yeah,
Brian Tyree Henry, a.k.a. Paperboy. And that's all I know as far as their names go. And then her friend is Ned from Spider-Man Homecoming. Yeah.
Yes.
It's like they're like, can we get a Taika Waititi version of Ned?
Yeah, he's the guy in the chair.
And he did nothing.
No, he wasn't even good.
And that was like the point was like, oh, I was, as soon as he came out, I was like, this guy's gonna hack some shit. Like, this guy exists in this, yeah, movie to sit in a chair at some point and be like, I could stop this if I could crack the code. Yeah. And then he can't, which is kind of funny.
It's really funny. It's bold.
He's like, I only know like HTML. Yeah. I think the best comedic line in the movie is when, yeah, Brian Tyree Henry is like, he's like, I went to computer camp. I learned HTML. He's like, HTML? Did you go to camp in the 90s?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he had some great lines.
The other good line, which is like, because once again, I think they definitely knew like the audience they were playing to with this.
Yeah.
Was when the evil villain, who you know is a villain because he looks like a villain from the very first time you see him, you're like, that's the bad guy. Yeah. Is giving his evil speech, and Mechagodzilla slowly just starts drawing towards him, and all the other characters start backing out of the room, and he's too busy pontificating, and he goes, "Wait, what? Like, you know, like, why aren't you listening to my speech?" And Mechagodzilla just takes his claw hand and just eliminates him off the face of the earth. And Brian Tyree Henry is like, it, like, sincerely, is like, I kind of wanted to hear the rest of his speech. Yes.
He has some good lines. It's, oh my God. The stuff in this movie is absolutely batshit, and I was living for it.
There is a great scene or a great shot where they're on the carrier. They're on the Air Force carrier that, for whatever reason, and then they're fighting, and I'm not sure how it's supporting one of their weight, let alone both of their weight.
Right. Right.
But they're fighting. And like Kong is standing, and then Godzilla's like circling back around, and there's a guy in a fighter jet, and he goes to like take off, and we're seeing it from the cockpit perspective looking backwards, and it's a great, I'm sure it's all digital, but it was a great, it's a very creative shot, and there's a few moments in this where I'm like, the actual, if you're going to make a movie, it's about two cartoon characters fighting. Yeah. You need to make the choreography and how you tell that action interesting. Mm-hmm. And I think Adam Weingard did that. I think he made it really interesting. It's not just like a flat shot of these two monsters destroying buildings.
In the rain. Like we got in the last movie.
Or like Batman v Superman. Yeah. Or like any of the Zack Snyder shit. Yeah. It's not, it doesn't look like Man of Steel where it's just like random buildings just toppling. In fact, even though that's happening, there's almost no focus on the fact that the buildings are toppling. Mm-hmm. The action is very personalized.
Yeah.
So, like, they first of all, they recreate the Die Hard shot where John McClane jumps off the building. Only it's Kong jumping off of a carrier as atomic breath is blowing up through it. It's a 100% ripoff from Die Hard.
It's so cool.
Or homage. Then there's an homage to Creed when Donnie gets knocked out. Godzilla straight up uppercuts. Which I don't even know his arms were that long, but he does. He punches in this.
Yeah.
He knocks King Kong out.
Yes.
And or vice versa. One of the two. I don't remember. And the camera follows. I think it actually might be Godzilla who gets knocked out. It follows like Godzilla's body as he's hitting the ground. In almost like an exact shot from Creed when what's his face got knocked out in real life.
Yeah.
So it's and then that's like such an interesting way to show monsters fight.
Yeah, I mean, Kong was fighting like a person, and it was.
Oh yeah.
It doesn't like that sounds stupid. It's not. It's so cool.
he walks he's, like a person.
He's throwing elbows like he was.
Well, just like just the shots of him walking, like I wondered if they mocap some of it, because when he's walking, he walks with like a badass, but not in an overt way. He walks like an action star, but he walks like a because he's older. He's got like a little bit of gray. He's got like a little bit of a goatee. He's got like a little bit of a beard. You know, his like chin hair is just a little bit longer. It's got like streaks of gray in it. And they really made like his eyes much more expressive and sensitive. Yeah. So like, oh well, they're making him the good guy. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't really strut, but he's like an old gunslinger. You know, he's got like this weird hitch in his step as he's walking because he's had all these battles.
Yeah.
And the weirdest part about it is it works.
Oh, it totally works.
And the way that he fights, it's like he's going into this, I was like Team Godzilla all the way, but within 10 minutes I was like, I think I'm team Kong.
Yeah. Oh man.
He's like is Kong the best superhero protagonist we've had in the last year or two?
Possibly.
As a huge Godzilla fan, you know this is that Godzilla is is a metaphor, right? Mm-hmm. Since his original creation. Yeah. And through the generations, like sometimes it's been more schlock. Sometimes it's been more really goofy, weird shit. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's been more serious, like an entire nation, like processing being nuked.
Yep.
And the trauma, which is like where he was created. And some of the more modern Japanese Godzillas are like dealing with like democracy mm-hmm. and capitalism and like all kind of stuff. And so yeah. Godzilla is like a metaphor brought to life for whatever it is you want it to be, which it could have be full of depth and meaning or be absolutely meaningless, depending yes. on who's making the movie, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Or what Toho wants to do at that time.
Right.
And the other thing, which is kind of amazing, is if you look at the filmography of Godzilla, like they'll make a bunch in a row and then they might go like 8 years without making one or 10 years yeah. without making one. It's not, you know, and then they get a new idea or like a fresh take on what he could represent. And then here he comes. Mm-hmm. And I love that idea. I think what has been fucked up about these American attempts is like they kind of wanted it both ways where right. they wanted it to be the schlockier Godzilla, but they also wanted to like, what I was saying earlier, they wanted to have that pretense of, oh no, the human characters. And this is really a story about grief yes. or trauma or whatever the fuck. And there's a way to do that version of Godzilla, but that needs to be kind of a serious, like, disaster movie.
Yeah.
And you can't do that and then also be like, look at all this destruction, because the destruction is supposed to be sad.
Yeah.
Because if you do a serious Godzilla, Godzilla is a metaphor for like tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you can't be like, we want it to be sad, but fun at the same time. It doesn't work. This movie, finally, they mm-hmm. figured out, fuck that. Like, let Godzilla just, in this version, just be kind of a giant cartoon comic book monster. He's not silly.
No.
But it's also not like trying to be melodrama.
Right.
Which is goddamn refreshing. It's also refreshing that this movie is an hour and 40 some minutes.
Amazing.
Period. Period.
Fucking beautiful.
It ends. And it has an ending. It has a fairly definitive yeah. ending. And it's like, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
So I think every decision they made with this one was right.
Yeah. The only thing I wasn't on board with is I was like, I don't need Kyle Chandler and Lance Reddick in this movie at all. Like, what? No. I don't even know what they were supposed to be doing because we barely see them other than like Kyle Chandler constantly texting Maddie and being like, will you call me? And it's like, I don't need, she could just be getting texting like my dad's text me. I know it's Kyle Chandler on the other end. I don't need to see him.
Yeah.
I don't care. So, but it was so little of him that like, I got the sense that the movie even was like, yeah, but people love Coach Taylor. We should. I know we don't have a point, but they're going to be mad if we don't bring Coach Taylor back. All right, let's just bring it back. You'll have like five lines. It's fine. And I feel like that was it.
I kind of appreciate the fact that they, you know, I'm a stickler for continuity.
Yeah.
So I kind of appreciate the fact that they tried to make this in continuity with the movie immediately preceding it.
Yeah.
Because what a fucking novelty for them to make a movie, tease a sequel, and then that movie actually be a fucking sequel yeah. to the movie we just watched.
Yeah.
And be the thing that they said it was going to be.
Yeah.
And that is what I will say about this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
What, big picture, the reason why I loved this movie is at the end, we sat through this very boring, convoluted, like bullshit Via Farmiga crying about climate change and whatever the fuck and like being a lunatic and it just all of that shit in King of the Monsters.
Yeah.
And then at the end they're like, but next up we're gonna do the thing you really want and it's gonna be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Right? I'm so used to movies doing that and then they're like, well, it's gonna kind of be that, but not really, but we might do it later. And they're like, no, fuck it. It's going to be Godzilla versus King Kong. Yeah. We're going to the Hollow Earth. There's going to be brains and psionic uplinks and uh-huh. savage lands and alternate gravity and magic flying cars.
Yeah.
And the humans are barely going to be in it. And at one point, King Kong is going to use a jet fighter as a fucking dart. And he's going to throw it at Godzilla. Godzilla's going to whip King Kong's ass and then give him a head nod out of respect.
Yeah.
He literally gives him it stops. He's looking at him and it's not unintentional. He nods to him. Right?
Right. It's
like respect.
Yeah. Like you put up a good fight. You're on your back though. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, you're done. You're done. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to kill you. Just stay down, right?
And I'm not going to.
But I respect your fight, yeah. Right? I respect the hustle. That is what he does. And I fucking love it. Oh, and I, like, at one point, Godzilla uses his atomic breath to supercharge King Kong's axe so that King Kong can save the day. Because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, yes. Godzilla is almost dead.
Yeah.
Because Mechagodzilla whips his ass. So King Kong, who's been resurrected through being resuscitated with the magic car.
The magic flying car.
Yes. Magic school bus.
He got a jump start from the car.
Yes. Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Soup sits up, hulks up like Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Then Lethal Weapon style knocks his shoulder back into place. Grand Stormbreaker. Uh-huh. As Godzilla's about to die, he Hulk Hogan's runs in mm-hmm. to save Randy Savage and puts Mechagodzilla into a chokehold, into a headlock.
Yes.
Saving Godzilla. Uh-huh. And then the two of them team up against Mechagodzilla,
mm-hmm.
who's half Ghidorah or somehow.
Yeah.
Or at least his brain is.
Yeah.
And then Godzilla, who's too weak to get up and fight, blows his breath, supercharging Kong's weapon, and then Kong just melees the shit out of Mechagodzilla.
He has no arms.
He has no arms. Decapitates him.
Yeah.
Holds his head up with his scepter, declares himself king.
It's so good.
And then stands over his body, screaming.
It's fucking amazing.
and then he chooses to lay his weapon down.
Yes.
And then Godzilla, I think, gives him another head nod, like, okay, all right, just as long as you know who's boss.
Game, respect, game.
Right? Yeah. Game, respect, game. Thanks for saving my ass back there, but I'm still king of the monsters. And Kong's like, fuck it, I don't give a shit. That's fine. Because I'm king of the core of the earth.
I'm going to the upside down, and there's no gravity down there, so I'm cool. I'm going.
And I'm God there, so I'm going to go back to my throne.
Yeah, the first chair that I've ever been able to sit on in my life, I'm going back there.
And then Godzilla slinks away, and the movie ends. And the best part, there's no fucking after credits scene.
It ends. It's over.
It's over. I'm sure they're going to make more of these, because I think this is going to probably be a success in some, whatever those metrics mean now.
Yeah.
It was just so... It's insane for me to say this, but what a refreshing film.
It was a goddamn delight.
For a franchise movie.
Yeah.
It was very refreshing. They gave you what they advertised.
Yeah.
And it was what they gave you was really creatively done.
And gorgeous.
Very good looking. They cut out almost all of the bullshit.
Yeah.
And then they just left you with a satisfying ending.
Yeah.
And said, okay, go home happy. Yeah. And that was it.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Like, this is what movies used to be.
I'm already home. This is the best.
Yes. Right?
Yeah. I honestly could not have asked for anything more. The only request I have in the world now is I want to go on the ride that is this movie. I want to go to the hollow core of the earth and I want to watch Kong fight some shit. I want to do it. I want to go.
That's its own ride.
Yeah.
And then here's what I think we need. I think we need a modernized version of Kongfrontation.
Ugh.
But it's set in Hong Kong. You could call it Hong Kongfrontation.
Oh my God, please.
But Godzilla shows up.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then Mechagodzilla shows up.
Oh my God.
That's what I want. I want to be in that neon Hong Kong fake world they created.
Yeah.
And with a triple threat match for the King of the Monsters.
Yeah.
And I want to ride that for that part of the movie.
Oh, I want all of that because I want to be in the flying car.
You got to go through the inversion tunnel.
Yeah. And then just the launch into the tunnel had me excited.
Yeah.
I also need this to be where I see one of the other cars in my mission, right? Has to go be the one to like reshock Kong, because we got to do that again. And I want to see that. Like, I want to be like one of several cars doing this. And that's kind of like the breakdown is like that car is going to go do it. And I want to be in and out of the action.
It could be like that shitty Millennium Falcon ride. But you as a team, you all have to synchronize and push your button at the same time in your ship, because that's what shocks his heart.
Yeah.
To bring him back.
I want to do it. I want to go on this ride. I need it. I need it yesterday. I need justice for Mothra. She was not given her due in Godzilla King of the Monsters. And
instead of Martha, it's Mothra. Mothra, why did you say that name? But it would be American Gorilla Sign Language. Mothra!
Oh my God!
Why did you say that name?
Oh my God. It's so fucking perfect.
It's perfect.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So from this point forward, do Kong and Godzilla, do they need to go their separate ways? Or do we do another movie with them where they're buddies the whole time? Like, what do we do? Like, because you've watched a wide spectrum of from the real serious, like heavy Godzilla movies to the more like kind of so bad they're good Godzilla movies to the ones in between. Mm-hmm. Like, where do you go from here with this? Because you can't put the toothpaste back in the bottle and be like, now we're going to tell a human story.
No, please,
about
no.
the climate change.
No.
Right?
It's
like, I'd be down for that movie, but that's got to be its own separate thing.
Yeah.
It can't be in this continuity.
I think the best thing for them to do is, if they're going to continue with these monster movies, is you can't just trot out Kong whenever you want. He is like a once in a blue moon appearance in these. He doesn't belong in like the full like gallery of kaiju. Like, he is a special edition, like a crazy crossover idea that like is supposed to just come once and then you like back away from it. And he needs to be happy on that island with his, or in the hollow core of the earth, just chilling out. And I'm fine with more monster movies. I'm fine with giving the other Titans. They say in King of the Monsters, I think there's like 14 Titans. We don't even see them all. There's more that they have that we can get into, where it just straight up becomes a battle between, like, Godzilla doesn't want to not be number one. So if at any point you have other monsters challenging him for that title, he's going to fight you. And
so here's what I like to see, maybe, or what they could do, to your point.
Yeah.
And I got to ask you this question, of Godzilla's canon, of his rogues gallery or his friends slash enemies or whatever.
Yeah.
Who is like his big bad? Who is like the ultimate? Who's the Joker to his Batman, or however you want to put it?
I mean, really, Ghidorah is it. Like, was
did they
it?
Start too early with Ghidorah then?
I mean, I guess they probably looked realistically and they were like, we don't need to make 9 of these movies, which is like some strange thinking from people who constantly want us to watch 9 of everything they want
to
make.
To me, as somebody who just knows Godzilla from the zeitgeist and isn't a fan, like a crazy fan like you, and I'm, you know, like grew up watching all these movies and, you know, knows the shit. It's like, The monster with the three heads, which is Ghidorah. Mm-hmm.
He's from space.
I know Mothra, and I know some, you know, Rodan, and I know the names, I know the characters, but I don't think of them as being like the big, big bad. And then it's Mecha Godzilla.
Yeah.
And now we've done both of those, and he's Kong killed one and he killed the other one. So who's left? Because you almost need him to go in outer space.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, you do.
It needs to go cosmic, or like to another dimension, right?
It kind of needs to happen, and then he can bring my girl Mothra with him, because she can fly, so she can go with. I just need that.
Who's the woman that like rides Mothra in some of the movies, like the magic twins or whatever?
Yeah, the fairies.
Yeah.
They're fairies. I don't know their names, but they're fairies. And that's what's important is that they're twin fairies and they sing to and can ride Mothra.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Yeah.
I think what you do is you don't highlight Kong for a little while.
Yeah, leave him alone. He's happy. He found a chair.
And you put him away, right? And then, because I'm thinking wrestling booking 101.
Okay.
Right? Because Godzilla was presented as the heel. Kong was the babyface. Godzilla had the advantage, an unfair advantage, because Kong was in chains and was at sea.
Right.
That's Godzilla's territory.
Yeah.
So it was the heels. The heel had an unfair advantage, so he beat the babyface. The babyface then came back from underneath, hulked up, supercharged, you know, and beat the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the bad guy kind of played dirty a little bit because King Kong like disabled his weapon and kind of sucker punched him a few times, or Godzilla rather. So Godzilla kind of fought dirty for the third round
mm-hmm.
and whipped his ass. Now, the question, of course, is always like, if I've got a baby face everybody loves and he just lost, people will lose interest in him because he just became a loser. So how do I get his heat back? How do I get it back to where the people are invested in him, where he lost, but it doesn't feel like a loss? And the answer is always, he goes away for a bit, but then he does something triumphantly heroic.
Mm-hmm.
So he may not win the match, but he wins the war, right?
Right.
He wins the storyline. That's exactly what happened here. Then we had a swerve, as it's called. Turns out Godzilla's not the villain. There's actually another villain. And then who comes to the rescue? In wrestling, it's called a run-in. Who runs in to save the day but Godzilla and or King Kong? And Godzilla would have died without Kong helping him.
Right.
And then they have begrudging respect toward each other. And they have a tag team. And then they you know, give their regards to each other and they go their separate ways. If this is wrestling, which mm-hmm. is what it is.
Yeah.
King Kong he's an attraction, which is what you just described.
Yes.
He needs to go away mm-hmm. for a while
mm-hmm.
until we miss him. And until Godzilla is so beat down and is so the whole fate of the universe is or the world or whatever is, and all the whole his whole alliance, Mothra's beat down. Like everybody is coming to Godzilla's aid, and one after another, they're falling. To whatever this giant titan is, even if they have to make one up.
Yeah. They can do that. Why not?
Yeah. And we're like, holy shit. Like, there's just no way. Like, all the whole Titan Alliance, the whole Justice League has fallen. Who the hell can save the day? And then boom, 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 boom.
Yes.
Here comes Hulk Hogan. Here comes Hulk Kong. He hulks up. And he saves the day, maybe even sacrificing himself.
Yeah.
To buy them just enough time for a bunch of sci-fi bullshit to happen for Godzilla to go supernova and destroy the threat. So Kong, and it's really Kong who was the real hero.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's do it. But hardly any people talking. Nobody whose name I know. Yep. And make it really colorful again.
And then instead of saying, 'twas beauty who killed the beast, you have Kyle Chandler in the distance on a green screen going, 'twas bravery that killed the king.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then as Kong is dying, Godzilla bends the knee. Right? Godzilla's like, I respect you so much.
Mm-hmm.
And you're dying, so you're not a threat anymore.
Yeah, it's fine.
So I'm going to show you respect, and I'm going to bow to you. And all the surviving monsters bow to Kong as his heartbeat slowly, slowly goes. And the deaf girl, who has now probably been recast as a 25-year-old.
Yes.
You know, is in tears and she crawls into his hand. He opens his hand and she crawls into it and lays down in his hand. And then you see his fingers just release.
It's very sad.
'Twas courage that killed the king. Or 'twas bravery that killed the beast.
Very sad. I really need for them to put respect back on Mothra's name. That's what I need. And then if we can get to another baby Godzilla, I'm all about it because I love a baby Godzilla. I've got such nostalgia for baby Godzilla. Like,
it's
got
to be like an actual Godzilla, though. It can't be like the baby Godzilla where it's just like a weird looking like troll doll.
Like a weird little gray round face.
Yeah, and he made like a weird noise, didn't he? What was his noise?
I can't do it really well, but I can kind of do it. It's like, wah,
wah. You're right.
What is that? That's not the sound Godzilla makes. What is that?
And he does it constantly.
Yeah.
There's a lot more on the table that they haven't even adapted yet. And I don't know what the licensing deal is with Toho, because Toho is very, very protective over him. Mm-hmm. And so they can kind of like yank him back whenever they want. It's kind of like a Sony MCU kind of a thing.
Yeah, you got to keep him happy.
So I don't know if they're just going to be like, well, thanks for kind of revitalizing the brand. We're going to go make another one.
Yeah.
Do you concur with me that this is the best one of these that they've done so far since 2014, I guess?
Absolutely.
Of the ones you've seen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
for sure.
I've seen them all and this is the best one.
Yeah. It's everything I want from it and nothing I don't.
This will mean nothing to our audience if they're listening to it now. But if they're listening to this now and they remember this a couple weeks from now, this will mean everything.
Okay.
Would you want to see? Let me ask you this. The next logical progression of Assassin 2033 AD? Kaiju.
Oh my God, I hope so.
Right? Or is the next Giovanni Molina movie Kaiju? Like, which would you rather see? Would you rather see a Giovanni Molina Kaiju movie, Alien End Times apocalyptic movie? Mm. Or would you rather see Assassin 33 AD Kaiju movie?
I definitely want Assassin 2033 AD, whatever year it is, 2333, whatever. I want that movie.
Because there is a beast.
Yeah.
And the beast has like seven heads with seven horns.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And there's also an angel who has 1 foot on land and 1 foot in the ocean who comes to like unfurl a scroll and confront the beast. And I'm saying, if you're going to go full revelation.
Yeah.
Let's get past the rapture.
Yeah.
Let's just go to the symbolism, but make it literal, and let's make a Bible kaiju movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I need it. I didn't know I needed it, but I need it.
And I'm saying, if at the end of that, like King Kong, Jesus Christ comes back on a giant white horse with a sword, with a tattoo on his leg, to cut the head off of the beast.
Yes.
I think you'd have mass revival across the world.
I mean, that might be enough to get me to go back to church.
I think like a Jesus who's come yet again. Like, what has this guy not done for us? Here he comes again to save humanity again.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Right?
Oh, boy.
But this time it's versus a kaiju.
It would be incredible.
Last time he died for your sins. This time he's killing off kaiju.
Yeah, I'm in. I'm 100% in.
No, so stay tuned, binge lords. Yeah. Thank you, Lady Juan. What do you got going on? Where can we find you?
Find me on Twitter. I'm at the Lady Juan. And I will probably have some cool things to tweet about next week. If you're listening to this when Godzilla versus Kong comes out, and if you're listening to it later, I don't know, just go like, just ask me, tweet at me and be like, what were you talking about? I'll tell you then. It's fine. I'm not busy. Yeah.
Well, looking at the schedule we have for the rest of binge movies for the year, you are actually pretty busy here. The not too distant future. The Dark Movie Overlords have you scheduled for quite a bit.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Well, my name is written in the Book of Binge, so
your name is officially written in the membership role of the membership database of Binge.
Yeah, I keep my card on me at all times. You never know when you're going to need it.
That's exactly right. If you die without that card, you don't get entry into the next dimension.
Yeah, I can't risk that.
Mm-mm. You can't. Nope. 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 Yep. There's Be Kind, Rewind Your Soul. You won't be taken into the great cosmic rewinder where your soul is rewound and you know, cleaned and cleansed and tracking done on it so that all of your defilements are removed and you have a clear crystal standard definition picture for all eternity. It doesn't happen. Instead, the tape snaps and the tape of your life. I mean, I'm saying some people believe in souls. Here at Binge Movies, we believe that there's an ethereal VHS version of us, of which all of our life is recorded onto through multidimensional phase magnetic technology. Yeah. And if that tape breaks, it's basically hell.
Yeah, I don't want to get eaten by the VCR.
Ooh. And eternally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not another.
Yeah, where the worm never dies, not in this case, it's where the VCR never stops eating your tape. Once again, none of this means anything, but it will.
It's fine.
It will. It will. So stay tuned. Thank you, Lady Juan. We'll be seeing you. We'll be hearing from you in a couple weeks again.
Yeah.
And throughout the rest of this year. And we've got some exciting things planned for you as one of our contributing hosts.
Yeah.
And we're grateful for you. Thank you. Make sure you check her out. Everything she's got. She got some fun stuff, non-binge movies related, coming out. And we're thankful for her. So let us know what you thought. Hit both of us up at Binge Movies, at The Lady Juan. Tag both of us. Let us know what you thought of Godzilla versus Kong. Yeah. Did you enjoy it as much as we did? Or do you think we're out of our ever-loving minds? We'll take your praise. We'll take your hot takes. We'll take your negativity. Mm-hmm. We just let us know. We want to know what you think. So hit us up. And until next time, binge on.